Make us servants of your peace. Where there is hate, may we sow love. Where there is hurt, may we forgive. And where there is strife, may we make one. Please be seated. You know, as I look out at all of you, I think you made it through road closures and rain and police barricades. And when you finally got here, the gospel is about hell and plucking out eyeballs and divorce and all the things you wanted to greet you on this sunny day. So I think it's safe to say it's a difficult gospel reading today. Are you with me? Yes. Oh, good. So it's not just me then. No, it's not. And part of it is we're dropped mid-conversation to Jesus challenging those who are taking pride in having never murdered. Look at me, I'm okay. But they still have hate in their hearts. We are listening in as Jesus admonishes those who point to the divorce paperwork in hand that they had drawn up just to abandon wives, but not just that, but to prove their righteousness before God. And the thing about this conversation we've been dropped into is that God was standing right in front of them and was not impressed with paperwork for have-to-be-rightness. The Old Testament reading that we heard a little while before reminds us of the danger of idols. Idols are the things that we put in front of God, like the idol of, I'm so right, God. Trust me, God, I've got it right. Listen to me. And then in the New Testament reading, we heard about how factions can cause friction and can fracture Christian community. So this being right can be an idol. This being right can be a shield or a battering arm against other people. But we know as Christians that admitting mistakes and seeking forgiveness, that is closer to righteousness. That will get us to recognize Jesus right here in front of us. Even in this difficult gospel, even this can bring us to a greater understanding of the kind of restoration Jesus wants for all of us. This restoration is a healing of past wounds. It's healing that touches body, mind, and spirit. And at its core, it is healing of relationships. Because in this gospel, we hear Jesus daring to speak to very difficult, very broken relationships. There's the relationship that is strained through argument. There's the relationship endangered by lust, and there's the relationship severed through divorce. And as I read these and we hear them and we reflect on them in community with one another, it looks to me like they're not just individual actions. No, it's pointing that all our relationships are in fact connected to one another. And if one member is hurt, then that injury is felt throughout the community. So these arguments, these jealous thoughts, these bitter resentments have a ripple effect. Jesus invites you, invites me, invites the world to a new life. And not just any kind of life, but an abundant life. A life that is healing and offers healing to others. A life that makes amends instead of holding on to grudges and arguments, that seeks to heal broken relationships, to keep promises, to show the world a transformed life. There is much that needs to be transformed in this world. That has always been the case. And there is much to seek forgiveness. In the gospel conversation we're now a part of, dropped into, there's an unevenness of power, those that have power and those who do not. And there's a great stigma around divorce. And the practice that we're coming up close to of looking into in this gospel is women who were cast aside. And through that divorce, through that undertaking, are left destitute. They have no one to protect them. And this practice comes out of a reading of a small part of Deuteronomy. Now, I like the Deuteronomy we just heard from, that we should walk in the way of the Lord's, in the Lord's way. But here, Jesus is coming face to face with folks who tried to bend a small portion of Deuteronomy, chapter 24, to fit their rightness, and not God's righteousness. In case you're wondering, I dug back and looked it up for us. And it says, suppose a man, there's one perspective here, suppose a man enters into marriage with a woman, but she does not please him because he finds something objectionable about her, and so writes her a certificate of divorce, puts it in her hand, and sends her out of his house. It goes on. She then leaves his house and goes off to become another man's wife. Then suppose the second man dislikes her, writes her a bill of divorce, puts it in her hand, and sends her out of his house. And this brokenness, this cycle, could just keep going. A popular interpretation of the time took this to mean that a man could divorce a wife over any little thing, but it also couldn't go the other direction. And then so a woman could be divorced, and then again and again and again. And that's trying to be right than to do right by all parties. That isn't righteousness. That isn't fulfilling the law as it was intended to walk humbly with our God. It's an uneven power dynamic. So Jesus is going to talk about it. He's going to call out any kind of practice that treats another human being like a disposable good and something to be thrown away. It's a tough gospel today. There's a spiritual reading practice called Florigelium, and I bring it up because it puts different passages together, and it can even be very small snippets or fragments together. And it's like combining ingredients that at the end you get a new creation. And I think as listeners, we might need to add some verses to take heart. Because so far, we have the gospel and its connection, but going back through the ages to Deuteronomy and to living that out in real life. And I want to add a snippet, still from Matthew's gospel. It's just a little bit later coming up. I want to add it and enter into a florigelium with it. Jesus says in Matthew's gospel, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Now, do we recognize this Jesus calling out to us? The same Jesus that was just speaking a moment ago. How can they go together? I think this new image matters, because a yoke is shared by two oxen, and a weaker or less experienced ox is comforted and helped by a stronger leading ox, because the yoke cannot be pulled by just one. So the ox that needs help is still pulling, is still doing its best, but it can't do it by itself. And in this image, I know Jesus wants to walk beside us, wants to be a part of our lives, and understands and wants to talk about how messy life can be. Jesus is trying to relieve us of the burdens we carry by ourselves when we don't have to, if only we make space. As Christians, we believe that what Jesus says matters. And this gospel reading, regrettably, has been used to justify bad marriages, broken from within, abusive relationships. Many of us have walked beside friends or family members who have gone through divorce, or we are divorced, or we married our spouse who was previously divorced. I have been so honored that by being here and getting to preach about being a stepmother from this pulpit means that your stories come back to me. You find me and tell me about the grace you've experienced in your families whether through divorce and remarriage or being step-parents. And that is grace at work, sharing those stories. The Episcopal Church has been a welcome haven for many who have, through divorce, needed to move and find a new spiritual home. Find a spiritual home and a church that seeks to find grace in the midst of hard readings like this one. A place that doesn't point out a single Bible verse to use to hurt others and put salt in wounds. Now, how did the Episcopal Church come to this acceptance and this grace? We listen to Scripture. We hear Jesus calling out to us. We listen to the Holy Spirit at work today. And we listen and know that being together means the presence of Christ is in our fellowship with one another. So the sharing of our stories matters. When you are trusted with another person's story, that is a gift from God. And it's an opportunity to lean in, to listen closely for the clues of how that person feels or wish they could feel God at work in their life. So this just happened to me, and I sat back and listened. A friend of mine called me and said, "You have to read this story. It's a short story. It won't take you that long, but you have to read it." And she really was an evangelist as she said this. She said, "I have something. I have to share it with you. Here's the story. I want to talk to you about it." And it got my attention because it's called The Sacrament of Divorce. I thought, okay, I'm listening. That's a title that I will pay attention to. And Anne Patchett wrote it. It's a short story, it didn't take long, but it was really emotional about just what one woman's decision to walk away from it all meant, what starting over was like. But most of all, about the ways people reached out to her. It was days after, weeks after, years after, and said, "Honey, it's okay. I understand." Now, the author goes a little further than I would because she says she wants to add an eighth sacrament. But I'm paying attention because she says it. In The Sacrament of Divorce, she wrote, "Like communion, divorce is a slim white wafer on the tongue. Like confession, it is forgiveness. Forgiveness is important not so much because we've done wrong as because we feel we need to be forgiven. Family, friends, God, whoever loves us, forgives us, takes us in again. They are thrilled by our life, our possibilities, our second chances." I think that this is our mission as the body of Christ, to accept Jesus' promise to walk beside us, to heal us, and then to offer that promise to the world, to restore all people who have known divorce or marriage, they're singled or they're partnered, whatever life is, to restore all people to unity with God and each other in Christ. I've needed to give and receive second chances, and I think we all have. The chance to begin again is what Lent is all about. It's what we're preparing for. And if, like me, you grew up with the notion that Lent is about giving up or a little bit of guilt so that you behave better, I want to expand the definition of Lent a little. Because I know now that Lent isn't about doing all of the right things and staying away from all of the wrong things. Lent isn't about showing how right I am or about being extra righteous. Lent is about being in right relationships. What we actually hope for the whole year, to be working on making our relationships right. Relationships with ourselves, relationships with each other, and our relationship with God. We start here. We start with our relationship to Jesus. So Anne Patchett wrote, "Whoever loves us, forgives us, takes us in again. They are thrilled by our life, our possibilities, our second chances." And how Jesus said it was, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." Amen.